Welcome to Crack My Back Bit Dispatch. This is Corey Luna. This is Patch Dispatch. I am Corey Luna. With me is Rich Hogben. Hi, Rich.
Hello. That's my new thing. I go, hello.
I have to remember that one. Cool. So we've got a few updates. It's been maybe about 2 months. I don't think we've been on since about May or maybe early June since we last talked about Superbooth. Now, we've had some fun times. We've gotten some shoots in, and there's a bunch of things coming up. Stay tuned. This is pretty awesome. First off, some cool gear coming out of Moog Labyrinth. Rich, what have you heard and what have you seen about Moog's Labyrinth?
Yeah, we actually have an article up on the website that came out a couple days after it was announced, or it was leaked, actually, I should say.
That's right.
Yeah, and the story behind the leak was there was some distributor that just had some up on eBay and their store. And people were like, and bought some. And then some people got them in the mail before the store took them down. Before, I guess, Moog caught on and was like, what the hell are you guys doing? there was a channel on YouTube, and I don't have it here in front of me, that was doing, like, you know, reviews on it. A small channel that was all of a sudden getting, I'm sure, like, lots of traffic, because there weren't that many people posting about actually showing demos of it. So, now it's out now. It's in everybody's hands. It's a good semi-modular synth for Moog. I think what people are kind of excited about is it's, you know, it's not the standard East Coast style, I guess, right? Like,
that's right. They've gone with a West Coast style of synthesizer designed for this.
Right. Right. And I guess that, I mean, that's really coming from what, like, I guess around the dual sequencers. That's kind of the big deal. I mean, I guess what wavefolding?
I don't know.
Is that more an East Coast thing or West Coast thing?
I would think that's more of a West Coast thing,
right.
But I'm not certain about that.
Right. I mean, I think it's really that sequencer that, you know, the randomization and the, I think they have on it like a chaos knob or something, right? That starts to, you know, it's not your kind of simple 8-step, you know, run of the mill sequencer. It's two sequencers running at the same time. So, I mean, it looks, you know, it's another cool semi-modular.
That's a fun, unique addition to the Moog family. And something that's going to pair with anyone's DFAM or Mother 32. Rack mountable, of course.
Yeah. I guess the FM thing is kind of, you know, really pushing the West Coast. But, I mean, it's not too far off from the others. Like, you know, it's got two oscillators, right? There's the, you know, the filter, the Moog filter you get on it. The ring modulator is cool. Like I said, the wave folder, and then that dual sequencer thing. You know, I think it's, I saw a couple of people talking about how it, you know, could pair well with the DFAM. Obviously, it would do, you know, really well for like percussion-y kind of stuff. But even sequencing like another synth would be kind of cool with it. So, yeah, I like it a lot.
Looking forward to seeing some videos on it. All right, so now we've got a Ableton Push update. Rich, sounds like you've done a little research on what this update fixes. Could you tell us a little bit about some of those features?
Yes. So this was an update for Ableton and Push 3. It also updates on Push 2. There's some updates there. But some of the kind of long-standing issues as far as the Push 3 have been that there's some parameters and things you can't access on the device. You have to load Ableton, load your project, you know, make the changes there, save it, and then transfer to the push 3 and open it, you know. So you're doing the sort of like back and forth transfer of project workflow, which is kind of, I get it for like the first time maybe, but like it gets kind of old when you're doing it over and over and over again. So like it was simple stuff like grouping devices, moving them around, grouping them kind of thing. You know, like once they were sort of set up on the push, it was kind of hard to do that stuff, or impossible. So you had to sort of do some organization in Ableton first. But beyond that, a lot of the macro stuff has been enabled. So macro mapping. Here, there's an article on Peaked FM about that. Mapping parameters. Again, this was a lot of stuff you had to load your project into Ableton, do all of your mapping, right? And then save the project and put it back in the push. So now you can access all that directly from the push 3, which is pretty huge. Also macro variations, which is really powerful. That's on there. And then a whole lot of other stuff. They also added some new devices. I think there's a new sort of drum device, like a drum sample device. Just a lot of stuff that you can tell that Ableton's like listening and they're really trying to like get this thing, you know, get it to a point where people are happy with where it's at. So
that sounds like a good update.
Yeah, for sure.
And this is the push 2.0.5 updated. Is that right?
I mean, there's probably even another update since this was posted. This was in 2.1, I think a beta. So not even like a final release, but okay. You can run the beta. Like it's fine. You get it.
And now we've got an interesting update with a resident advisor partnership with SoundCloud. I've heard that they've had history before, but now is this a merger? What have you heard about this, Rich?
So resident advisor posted an article that they are partnering with SoundCloud on specific sort of website stuff. So I think they've probably always been kind of tight knit. Like Resident Advisor has a lot of content on SoundCloud, and they also use the SoundCloud player on like their event pages and things like that. So all they're really doing is sort of solidifying that, hey, like we like each other, you know? Let's make this a little more fluid as far as the integrations. So it might mean you might see more customized kind of SoundCloud-ish player on Resident Advisor, and you might see more ticket stuff, you know, or tighter integration on SoundCloud from the Resident Advisor side, which I think is cool, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, SoundCloud isn't like electronic music focused like Resident Advisor is, but I think that's definitely a really big genre on SoundCloud. I get the sense that it is, but maybe I'm wrong. What do you think?
That's a great question. I would say that it's SoundCloud is encompassing everything. So it's interesting to see that Resident Advisor taking on a broader range of genre from SoundCloud. So I'm not exactly sure how that's going to work, but that's an interesting concept.
Yeah, I don't think Resident Advisor as far as content is going to change. Like they're still electronic music focused, right? But the electronic music that they, that, you know, the events that they list when there's a SoundCloud player, I think in the future, like I'm saying, you're going to see maybe a little better integration. It's not just the standard embedded player that everyone has on every other website when you embed from SoundCloud. It's probably going to be a little more customized. So they weren't very specific, but that's sort of what they were talking about. I'm sure we'll see, you know, in the future what that turns out to look like. But yeah, it's cool, you know.
Definitely is. Now we've got one recent album update that came out in June, and Frank Martin actually personally asked me to mention this. He sent us a copy to take a listen to Doug Leonard's new album, The Four-Sided Note. This is a 5-track album that is recently released. Very Surge. I'm not entirely certain, but I believe that Surge is the main synthesizer voice that we're really hearing on this. So you've got that classic, you know, still the room type of electronic sound coming out of this album. You know, if you like that early synthesis style from 1970s, this is going to be a great album for you to listen to. Let's play track one, Alternation.
Yeah, okay.
That's a good one. So again, like if you love Surge or that or even a Buchla sound, this is, you know, 1960s, 1970s style of synthesizer performance.
Yeah, it's
which would you think?
It was definitely tickling a part of my brain. yeah, it's cool. I mean, I'm sure. So this was this an Atmos release or something? Is this one?
I believe that Frank Martin did a mastering mix, a mastering of the four-sided note in Dolby Atmos. Mm-hmm. And it should be available to listen to in Dolby Atmos.
Right. Yeah, I know, like, you know, like he's really big in like the quadraphonic space and stuff like that. So imagine on more than two speakers or headphones, it sounds pretty crazy.
If you've got more than two speakers, or you have a quadraphonic setup at home, or even a 7.1 surround sound, it should sound pretty amazing and encompassing. for the was it the binaural headphones?
Something that can play that sort of surround sound.
Definitely.
Cool.
Yeah. Please take a listen to Doug Liner's album, The Four-Setted Note. Find it on Bandcamp and in Dolby Atmos. And we've got some really fun stuff coming up for Pete. We've got, actually, our stuff coming up soon is going to, in August, tentatively, August 8th, we have a workshop coming up where we're going to be offering free tickets to attend, but we're also going to have, if you want to build a board with us to go to this workshop, you can pay for a ticket, which will get you the package and get a chance to build a breadboard synthesizer.
Mm-hmm.
Rich, what are we building?
Well, I can play the little video here.
Oh.
This is the Clangorium. The Clangorium transforms digital logic into sounds. It uses CMOS chips like the 4106 trigger, the 4040 binary counter, and a whole bunch of others. These chips power oscillators, frequency dividers, there's an envelope, sequencing, mixing. It's a logic chip playground for making drones, drums. I don't know. Kind of whatever you want.
You got a big beard, though.
Yeah, so it's I actually have the blank board here.
Oh, cool.
It's a lot of soldering. So the first workshop is probably going to be focused on like the out section, you know, like the aux, and probably the one oscillator chip at the top. And then probably the mixer, you know, so you can like do some soldering, get sound coming out of it. The rest of it, it's a lot to do in like one session. So, we'll have follow-ups, for people that don't solder at home that are local, can, you know, come back and work on the other sections. But yeah, it's basically, you know, it's these logic chips. Can you see this?
Sure.
These are digital, and they're not like, their primary purpose was not to like make music, but you see them in different things, like parts of the 808 have some of these logic chips in it. You know, also like other analog components. I think the big thing about this workshop that I want to say is like, you know, I'm not an expert, but we're all kind of coming together to sort of like just learn about stuff and do some soldering and build this thing that Elliot from Hackaday made 10 years ago and sort of revive it and, you know, see if we can get the community involved in it again and see where it goes.
I'm excited, seeing as I'm not proficient in soldering, and it's one of my lifelong dreams to learn. And I'm excited to learn along with a group of people. It's just something that I've needed to really get into soldering, is have other people around me who can help guide me and teach me how to build a breadboard like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or on a PCB.
Yeah. It'll be fun. I mean, I think there's a lot of interest in this stuff. You know, there's some really good channels on YouTube for DIY, you know, synths like this. And like even Erica Synths did a collaboration breadboarding product recently, where you can, you know, take chips like this or whatever and, you know, plug in resistors, capacitors, and make an oscillator, you know, that's, you know, voltage controlled and patch it through your rack. A lot of these also run, they'll run on 12 volts. So you can just run like your power through it. They'll run from like 5 volt, 9 volt battery up to 12 volts. I think they're all fine. So, yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. So yeah, if you go to peak.fm, the calendar section, and again, we'll be sending out an email, you know, to finalize the date, and then you can register from there. So
I'm excited about this.
Yeah, me too.
And this is something that, since we haven't had live shows on a regular basis in a long time, and this is something that Rich, you and I really talked about and really thought about for a while on how to bring the community together again for not just a show, but, you know, a workshop, something more immersive. And I think this is a great step for us.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
And continuing with fun things, Peaked 5th year anniversary show is going to be on August 31st at Mission Synths in San Francisco. We're going to have, we've got FETS doing live video projection for all sets. And we've got three acts performing for us for the Peaked 5th year anniversary show. Shipwreck Detective, Amy Lee, who you might also know, created the IDE app Anilog, great analog synthesizer app available on phones and iPads, really amazing. And coming back to perform for us is Carolyn Falk, also known as Sirnai, who, if you were at, I think the 9th show we did back in November of 2019, performed with Nathan Moody. Now, this time, Carolyn Falk is collaborating with Steve Bryson, who will be possibly performing on a theremin. So I'm really looking forward to this. This is a collaboration that the two of them have been working on for a little while now. And I don't know if this is going to be their show premiere on what they've been working on together, but I'm hoping that it's going to be something very unique that will be the first show to be able to showcase. So again, Peaked 5th year anniversary show, Mission Synths, August 31st. We'll have some promotional items coming out later on. It'll be in an email blast in a little bit once we get our flyer together. And please come on out. It's, as always, it's a free show to attend. It's to bring the community together. And as we came from San Francisco, we're continuing this tradition of having our anniversary shows in San Francisco. And this will be our third year in a row doing our anniversary shows at Mission Synths, which is really exciting because they've always been really wonderful to us. And they've been really wonderful to the community of electronic music, which has been a really wonderful thing to see and blossom.
Yep, for sure. Yeah, I was looking at their website. You know, this photo, this is obviously like when they first worked. There's nothing in there. It's empty.
Wow.
How did they get the top windows to line up exactly with Mission Synths? Like, there's the exact number of windows across the top. You know how they put the letters up there?
Yeah, they did.
Was it like fate or what?
It must have been. That's a great question. We should ask them. Let's get them on camera on August 31st and ask them that question.
I mean, I guess you have leeway with like the space or not, but I mean, it's still pretty crazy. Or maybe they were like, what can we name the store that fits exactly in every, you know, window? And then that's where the name came from.
It Could be.
I don't know. It's crazy. Yeah.
That's a great question. I don't remember ever asking them about the name of the place. Good idea. All right. Well, oh man, this is exciting. So August is going to be a big month for Peaked, and we've got some other fun things coming up, but that's it for now. Until then, patch on everybody, and I'm looking forward to hearing your music. Rich, good night.
Bye.